This is Cheryl McQuaid. I'm with Lansing Fisherbody Historical Team. We're in the Labor Relations Conference Room. It is November 7th, 2005, at approximately 10:30 a.m. We're preparing to interview Barbara Rossi. First, we're going to go around the room and state everybody's name that's present.
I'm Mike Fleming.
Marilyn Coulter.
Doreen Howard.
Linda Johnson.
Doug Rademacher.
John Fiedewa.
Barbara, would you please state your name and spell your last name for us and your address, please?
Barbara Rossi, R-O-S-S-I, 5434 West Willow Highway, Lansing, Michigan, 48917.
And are you married? Do you have children?
Yeah, I'm married, but I do not have children.
And what is your educational level?
I have a BA through Michigan State. I was a school teacher for 3 years. And then I also have a master's in management through Aquinas.
Could you tell us what your hiring date is at Fisherbody?
July 1st of 1981.
And do you remember that day?
Yes.
Could you tell us a little bit about it?
Yes. Just a little prelude to this is the week before, when I hired in, I was working at Michigan Employment Unemployment Service there. We helped in the hiring of hourly people in 1981. And we interviewed like approximately 10,000 people. And so anyway, they had an opening in a salary position here at the plant. And my boss got a call from Bob McMonagle that worked here at Fisherbody, and he said, "We have an opening for a salaried person. Could we interview someone?" She said, "I'm looking at somebody right now. I want you to interview." So I found out about it on Wednesday. That Friday, I was interviewed here. The following Monday, I was called to firm up the offer. And the following Wednesday, I started here. So it was quite a whirlwind type of a thing. My first day here, I was overwhelmed because not only did I have to learn my job, but I had to go across the way because I worked in employment as a clerk, and I had to go across the hall to learn sickness and accident to be their vacation replacement when those clerks weren't there. So in the morning, I would go and I would learn my regular job, and then in the afternoon, I'd go to my other job and learn that. So my first day was overwhelming. I thought, what did I do? Why did I take this job? And but everybody was very nice to me. There was a whole group of people that introduced themselves to me and made me feel very comfortable. But it was a very overwhelming position or feeling when I first started here.
And what about the first time you walked out on the plant floor?
I wore a dress, and I thought, now I know how factory people are, that they tell you how they feel about things. I walk out on the floor, and I had a dress on that had red and white stripes on it, and right away I heard someone say, "Hey, Candy Cane." So I knew I was accepted. So I just went over and I talked to the guys, and it was just a lot of fun. But it's just the warmth you feel when you walk out on the floor. It's just really nice. But they're genuine. They tell you the truth. They don't mess with you. If they don't talk to you, then you know you're in trouble because they don't like you. So you have a question?
Yes, I do. Barbie came in 81. Mm-hmm. What year did you get your BA and your master's?
Okay, my BA was in 1976, and my master's was in 1986.
Okay, so was it through working here that you were able to get your master's
degree? Correct, yes.
Could you talk about that, how the educational program went for you?
It was great. It was very hard because when you work full-time and you go to school, you're very, very tired. But Aquinas, they were one of the few groups. See, I wanted to go to Michigan State to get my master's, but I was told flat out the last year you're going to have to take time off from work, and I thought, I've got a job, I want to work. So I ended up going with Aquinas because they had a night program that was all night. And now, fortunately, that has changed. And Aquinas, it was just a really good program. They had an extension service here, so I rarely had to go to Grand Rapids where they're located. And it was a good program. It was very tiring, but I really learned a lot. And I apply from both of my degrees. I apply so much to my job every single day.
It says you were a school teacher.
Mm-hmm.
Did you have an opportunity to teach while you were here in any of the departments that you work in?
Yes. Well, I think I teach every single day. When I work with people, I try to make people – my husband always gives me a joke about you're an independent woman. And what I try to do is I don't mind, doing the work, but if I can help someone else – provide for themselves. And it's hard because it's harder to teach somebody than it is just to say, okay, I'll just do it. Because what you've done is you've empowered somebody else to do their work. And instead of just trying to, you know, people are like me, I got to do it myself and all that. If you teach somebody, if you take time to teach them how to do something, then they're off and running, and then they can teach somebody else how to do it too. So you've empowered people. So I use my skills every single day.
Great.
Questions?
You said that you hired in the salary employment office?
Hourly employment.
How long did you do that job, and where did you go after that?
I called those pregnancy class or times work because when I worked at the state, I worked 9 months in Treasury, 9 months in MESC, and then 9 months in hourly employment here. And Don Chenoweth was the plant manager here. And I always thought he must think I'm a real goof-off because every time he'd walk by our area, it was during lunch hour because he'd go upstairs to the cafeteria and eat. And then when he'd come down, he'd always pass by our area and just wave at us. And we'd always be laughing and goofing around because from 12 until 1, we were closed to the general public in order to get our work done, to do filing, because at that time we still had the old-fashioned typewriters and stuff, and it was a good group to work in, so we were always laughing and having a good time. He's probably thinking, you're an idiot, and because you're always laughing and stuff. Well, when the opening came up when his secretary retired, he asked me if I wanted to be interviewed, and I said, sure, and I had never spoken with a man before, and I was interviewed, and I was hired to work up there, and then I was there ever since until this closed down now, and now I'm going back to hourly employment. That's where I'll be working now.
Oh, really? At the new plant? So you will be going there?
Not the new plant. We service both 602 and 652. So our location will be building 66. It's basically where to put us because there's six of us. And so there's really not that room out at Delta. Even though we service Delta, we're going to be at 66, and our move date is Wednesday.
Oh.
And who is the coordinator? Me.
You're very busy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Doreen Howard.
You talked about your degree and that you got your master's while you were here. Did you take advantage of the benefits, what's it called, the TAP program?
I don't know what the TAP program is.
The tuition assistance?
Oh, yes, definitely. Oh, yes. They paid my education, definitely. GM did. Yep. I'm very grateful. Yes.
Doug Rademacher.
Barb, you've worked for a number of different, since you took the job for Mr. Chenoweth, there's been a change in plant managers over the years. Can you share a little bit about each one of those particular managers?
I've worked for four plant managers, Don Chenoweth being the first, and he was wonderful, but he was a taskmaster, very detail-oriented. And, I mean, I literally worked 7 days a week when he was here, because our plant worked 6 days a week, and I came in Sunday just to see what he was up to. Because I would walk in, and he had a file drawer for all of his paperwork that he wanted me either type or file or whatever. And he would have so much in there that he couldn't even close the drawer. So I would come in Sunday just to work on that. It was a very good experience because I learned a lot from him about how the plant runs and everything. Because I was like his right-hand person, not production-wise, but just everything else. I really learned a lot about the business. And then the second plant manager I worked for was Frank Shatters, who was just the opposite of Chenoweth. He was detail-oriented, but not to the point that Don was. But Frank was very classy. He was a regional manager before he came here. He was equivalent to a Doug Tracy. And the reason why he was brought here is because in 85, when we merged, there was a lot of animosity between Fisher Body and Oldsmobile, and so they had to get rid of both plant managers. So Don Chenoweth was sent to another plant, and Mike Spitzley on Old's side was sent somewhere else. And then Shatters came in to blend us, to get us to get along with each other. And speaking about the union side of it, there was a push by management to try to have the two unions merge. And Shatters said, I'm not going to do that. There's two entities here. We're going to keep them separate. So his word was solid. And he was wonderful to work for. And you would never know if he had a bad session with his big bosses. He would always come in. He was always even keel. He was always very cool with us. He reminded me a lot of Ronald Reagan when Ronald Reagan was in office, how cool and calm he was during everything and how he really knew how to work with people. And then the third plant manager was, of course, Jim Zufkus, who was exactly the opposite of Schotter's, very outgoing, very outspoken, sometimes could be brutal, but he never meant it. And that's the problem with Zub, is people misunderstood him. He really had a big heart, really, and I really learned a lot from him, too. Then the last plant manager is Andy Farmer, and just the opposite again. I always say my job is dealing with personalities, not the work. The work always has to be done. Has to be done now, not tomorrow, but now. And so all the job is the same. It's just the personalities change. You have to learn how to deal with each person. Amy is superb. I mean, she is, I think out of all the bosses, she's the best I work for because she had compassion. Not only the knowledge, but the compassion, and she really accepted us for what we were. Not like you're just a person or just an entity. She really knew, she understood you and knew what your capabilities were. But if you weren't doing your capabilities, she didn't have any trouble saying, hey, step up to this issue now. But I really loved working for her. So those are my four managers.
Michael Fleming.
When you talked about Chenoweth, and Spitzley, was it?
Mm-hmm.
Those two were here, and they split. Mm-hmm. At that time, did it just go to one manager for both sides?
Exactly.
Now, could you talk about that a little bit? How did it work out?
It was tough. It was Frank Schotter's handled it well. I mean, he was a regional manager who had handled like five or six plants at one time. He had to come in and deal with a lot of animosity because everybody was bitter. You know, how come we have to consolidate? And it was a very hateful time. And he just knew how to work with people, and not that everybody would be happy with his decision, but they all understood it and they all respected him for it. He had a sign on his desk that said, "I will listen to all objections that you have to what I am going to do, but the final person will make the decision is me." Meaning, I will listen. He is fair. I watched him one time when there was a very touchy issue going on. And he changed his mind completely because of one person coming in and talking to him about it and showed him a different viewpoint. Very open-minded man. So, yeah, he had to deal with a serious situation.
Doug Rademacher.
Barb, would you tell us about the time you came in 81 till present and the amount of women-to-men ratio? Has it changed? And did you like working for a woman plant manager over the men? Can you
share about them all.
The hiring?
Amy, you would only know she's a woman because she's looks like a woman. As far as her attitude about work, it's the same. Very driven person, a hardworking person. So I don't see the difference. I was really worried about her coming in because you hear all these horror stories about people until you actually get to know them. She is just the opposite of what I thought she would be. I thought she, because see, you always hear about women that make it to the top, that they could care less about the women below them. They just will smash them, you know, and she was not like that at all. But I think she's an exception to the rule. I really do. Not that I've dealt with a lot of women that have powerful positions, but just from what you hear, horror stories you hear from friends and all that, that women that get those positions, they just forget where they came from. And Amy never forgot where she came from, ever. So I love working for her. As far as the ratio, it has tremendously increased. I think when Amy came in, Karen Daly came in as the quality director. Then we had Pat Grenville that came in as the director of material. So, yeah, there was a big difference in management. I think management level, getting more women in there. As far as all the rest of us, I think it's been pretty much even keel as women and men ratio. It was pretty even keel. But as far as managers, big difference as the years went on.
Marilyn Coulter.
Barb, coming from the office area, and Lansing's always been considered the capital of quality. What do you think about that? What do you think we attribute that to?
We all care. We all take ownership for what we do. People don't get it when I go somewhere else. I have my husband's side up. They're all from Detroit. They're all Ford workers, okay? They can't figure out you have two unions, two assembly lines. They can't figure that out. Even Detroit GM cannot figure that out. You know, I have to explain to them what we are here. And it's because we care. We're smart. It's a smart workforce. We all get along. Not that we don't have our disagreements, but we all get along. And nobody can figure that one out. It's simple. So.
Barb, this is a little bit away from the work thing. I know that we've done some things that are more or less some people-building things, some outside activities. You want to tell us about some of the activities you were involved in and some of the projects that we've done here in the plant?
What do you mean by outside?
Well, if I'm not mistaken, I know we've done things like variety shows and we've done some things like that.
In 1985 when we consolidated, Oldsmobile, Tom Police in particular, brought over a talent show that they did every year. And so it was kind of like a selfish reason. I'm a dancer, so I wanted to learn about the other group. And what better way to get to know somebody when you socialize? Because when people say when you go out, you know, with other people you work with, you know, what's the benefit of that? You get to see another person in a different environment, and you really learn a lot about the person. So I thought, okay, I'm going to join this group because I am a dancer. It's not a problem. And we opened and closed the variety show, the talent show. And I got to know all the managers, and it was just a really good experience for me. I had a blast, and that's what was nice. They brought that human element into the plant when we had the talent show, and that was just a lot of fun. We had a good time with it. So I don't know what else. That's basically what I was involved with was the talent show. I don't know if there was other things you were thinking of too.
Didn't know what other types of things to do. You guys have holiday parties, Christmas parties, you celebrate birthdays, any types of things like that in front of?
You know how it is when you organize birthday parties. People go, why do I have to give money and blah, blah, blah. So I would always end up making the cake myself, bringing it in, and then if somebody wanted to chip in for a gift, that was fine. I never pushed anybody because you got some of the guys. I'm not saying you. Some of the guys go, I don't want to spend that kind of money. The women I never had trouble with. So that's why I just kind of like did it myself. But we always had a good time. I never forgot people's birthdays. So.
Michael Fleming.
I noticed you do some things personally on the outside. You volunteer for the diocese?
Yeah, Diocese of Lansing. Uh-huh. My husband, when I met my husband through... I went to a dance through the Catholic Church, and then eventually when we got engaged and stuff, he was involved in this group over at downtown at St. Mary Cathedral, and it's a group of people that are handicapped, either mentally handicapped or physically handicapped, and in order to give the caregivers a chance to get together and have experts come in and talk about different fields about their particular situation, what my husband and I would do is help, like there'd be a pizza party for the handicappers while the caregivers are off, in their meeting. And then I also, because I do a lot of crafts, I would bring a craft in and we would work on it together, like build something that they could take home. And so I've been doing it for so many years now, and it's just been a great experience. And what makes it hard is you see the caregivers that are like in their 70s and 80s, and you worry about the people that they're caring for. They worry, will there be someone there to take care of their son or daughter? And this is really touching. One of the guys, he was so worried about his daughter because he didn't know who would take care of her, who would the guardian be if he and his wife should pass away. Well, his daughter died suddenly of a brain tumor, and they did not know she had cancer. And I guess it's a very peaceful way to die when you have a brain tumor because you don't feel the pain. And so she died very peacefully, and he said, here I was fretting over how I would take care of my daughter, and God already had it handled. Not that he wanted to lose his daughter, just the idea that that he does provide. So I thought that was really neat. I mean, it's just a neat group of people.
You mentioned your husband. What does your husband do?
He works at Board of Water and Light. He works in the computer department there. So he runs all the computer systems. And I call him for help all the time.
Doug Rademacher.
Barb, you've got a lot of energy. And you said you took on the responsibility of baking the cake, putting some things together. I'd like to know about the recognition that was shared back to you. Have you ever received any special award or anything that you were recognized for the work you've done over the years?
You know what a reward is for me is to tell me I did a good job. I don't like appraisals because I figure, tell me, if I'm doing something wrong, I want to know. If I'm doing something right, I want to know. So I've always gotten praise. You know, there's been monetary. We all get monetary awards when we do, you know, something that, like, well, the last thing I did was I worked on a project. I work in finance also, and I do the joint funds. Well, I revamped the whole system, and Amy awarded me with a monetary award. And I didn't expect it because I was doing my job. And that's what I have a hard time with, you know, the suggestion. I know suggestions are good and all that suggestion program is, but if you got a better way to do a job, you just do it. You know, you don't expect to be rewarded for it. But I do like it when I get a nice compliment because compliments cost nothing, okay? And they mean everything. And they're invaluable. And that's why I try when somebody does something that helps me out. Because when I call, people go, oh, what does she want? Because, you know, but see, I'm calling because the plant manager wants something done. And so I try to call back when something's been completed and just say, thank you for helping me out with it. You know, maybe sometimes I miss somebody and I don't mean to, but I always try to let people know I'm very grateful for what they've done. I think it's important. I think praise is like, costs nothing, it means everything.
Well, I was going to say, well, I can't say. Now, I'll agree with that because we call those gold stamps and
green
stamps. You know, pats on the backs.
Yeah.
You know, anytime you can give praise, it does make a difference. Now, we want to talk about your work environment. We touched on a little bit in your office. When it came to holidays and it came to the family environment in your office, could you talk about the culture you had there?
It was nice. Yeah, I very busy, very hectic. You never know from one moment to the next when all hell would break loose. But you know, when there was a crisis that had to be handled. But as far as respect with each other, because see, when you know somebody respects you, when you know the manager respects you, you can do a lot. And I never had that problem where, oh, you know, I don't trust her to do the job and all that. It was just like, here's the job, take care of it. And in fact, that was kind of like a compliment. I was gone for about 6 months on a temporary assignment for Zub, where I went over to EDC West and we had 10 people working with me on calling the customer and thanking them for buying our Grand Amps. And I thought, why do I have to do this assignment? And then Jim Edwards, the quality control director at that time, said, it's a compliment, Barbara, because Zub brought it up and he said, I need somebody to head this up. And they said, we're busy, so let's give it to Barbara to do. So I never felt like I was demeaned in any way because I was a secretary. I was always treated with respect, and it was just a really good environment. And I'm not saying that there weren't hiccups here and there, but basically everything could work its way through, and we could get the job done together.
The working relationship was great. Talk about the parties, the Christmas parties, the Thanksgiving parties. Did you all do stuff in that environment that was outstanding that you can remember? Or can you think of one particular one that was on?
Well, I know with Chenoweth, he always had it at his house, which I thought was really nice. He and Lori would put the parties on there. And after that, it would be like at a different hotel or stuff like that where it was very nice. And it was just nice to meet the spouses and get to know them. And because really, in a social environment, you get to know more about people and you get to, there's like a special connection there, not just in work environment, but also in the personal environment too. So yeah, it was just I really enjoyed all the parties I went to. The retirement parties were a lot of fun. The last big one that we had was for Wilkie Hopkins, and that was real special. And each manager is different, because I would say, what kind of a party do you want now that you're retiring? Do you want to have a sit-down dinner? Do you want to have like a gathering, you know, like a cocktail party? What would you like? So you always try, I always try to fit it to the personality of that person, what they would want. And it was just always a nice environment.
One more question I'd like to ask. You've been here for, 20 years easy.
24.
And GM vehicle, what type of vehicles do you drive, and do you have a problem with your family driving GM vehicles?
None. Always been Oldsmobile. My dad, we now have a Pontiac LeSabre, because we look at the ratings of the cars and everything, and plus I always look at the dealership, and Allison Bugey over at Glenn Bugey is always, they're impeccable. I get a lot of complaints about, well, not a lot, when I do get a complaint about a car, I remember who serviced that car, and I will not be going there. There's always been good rapport with Glenn Bugey's group, so that's why we have our LeSabre. And then the Jimmy truck that my husband has, we bought from Jim Supkus. So he drove it, his wife. In fact, I wanted to make sure it was a good car. His wife came here for a meeting one time, and I was looking out for her to let her into the building, and she was so cute. She walked. She didn't know I was watching her. She was walking around the car, checking it out to make sure it was okay. I thought I must buy this car. And that's what we have, is Jimmy truck.
Marilyn Coulter.
Barb, you live relatively close to the Fisher Body plant. Were you originally from Lansing?
Yes,
from
all my life. Born and raised here.
Where'd you go to school?
St. Therese Elementary School and then Catholic Central High School.
Being a Lansing resident, what did you think about the Fisher Body plant? When you were a kid growing up here, did you have any contact with the plant?
I did not know Fisher at all. But I knew Oldsmobile because my dad retired from 652. So I knew, and my whole neighborhood went to work there at Olds. Fisher Body was just an entity I just would see. In fact, when I was teaching in Grand Ledge, a gal used to live in the neighborhood here, and I would pick her up because we'd carpool together, and we'd always drive by this big green building. But I knew it was part of GM, but I didn't know exactly what we built. And I remember when I first came here, okay, I'm thinking, all right, I got to learn about this car. And so I'm thinking, now, how does the body shop relate to the paint shop, to the trim shop? Okay, I'm going, okay, you got to put the body together first. Then you paint it, and then you trim it out. Then you ship it over to chassis. And that's how I remembered what this building did. So, yeah, but I really did not know that much about Fisher before I hired in.
One other question. Well, being here and being the fact that you're more or less on the salary side, did you ever have to go through any strikes that were here?
Not really. The one day, I think it was, about 8 years ago, when Flint struck, and then we had to leave, I guess, I never had to cross a picket line, if that's what you're asking me. I never had to. And so I never had to go through anything like that. But I remember the day that we kind of struck, and I can't remember the exact date of it, but I'm just thinking, you know, it's like everybody was like, they knew they'd be coming back, but it was not like there was any animosity there or anything. The only thing that bugged me was the newspaper people always have to be around. And I watched this one woman. She was a little tiny reporter, and she had high heels on. And these our guys were trying to leave. And she's following him down, clicking down the sidewalk, trying to get an interview. And these guys are going, get away from me, you know. And she's trying to get an interview. And that's what bothered me the most, is how the local media deals with everything. You know, we know how to handle ourselves here. And they were just, I just couldn't stand it that she was doing that to him. That's the only thing I remember about that one little mini strike that we had.
As we get ready to go through this decommission, and you come through the building and it's all quiet and stuff, and you don't have the hubbub of the people, what's the feeling like now?
Sad. I'm going to miss this place. I'm going to miss the heritage that was here, because we are a good group of people here, you know, and it's like we're being, I don't know if you remember Shirley Sanborn. She worked in engineering, and she said, you're being just thrown to the wind, and that's kind of like how I feel. Not that we're all not going to land on our feet, but it's just kind of like sad to watch everybody go every which way. Mm-hmm. It's sad.
Doug Rademacher.
Barb, the the work environment where you work has changed many times. We had payroll at one time. It disappeared. Payroll's come back.
Now we're going back again.
Departments come and go. On the plant floor, the workers consider themselves brothers and sisters. Does that environment exist up in the
we care about each other.
Main office? Mm-hmm. Have you developed a friendship that's extended outside of this plant with you and your husband? From your coworker?
Oh yeah. There isn't anybody here that I could not call and say, you know, I've got this problem going on, you know. And it's just, in fact, personally, there's some of the coworkers and I have had some really heart-to-heart talks about personal issues. And it's just nice because we're not alone. You know, that's the one thing when you're going, like my mom's been very sick for the last 2 years and she's in a nursing home, and it's that there isn't anybody I could not talk to about it. Like Amy was just so wonderful with me through that whole thing. And we can all relate. We're not alone. You know, all the experiences we're going through, it's not the first time someone has gone through that. And if we got to rely on each other and trust each other to help get through it. And that's why we're born on this earth, is to help each other. Mm-hmm. There's not no big secret. You know, that's what it's all about, is to take care of each other.
Again, thank you. You've been here for some time. And as you were here through the 3 or 4 plant managers you've been through, there's been some name changes within the facility. We went to BLC, then we went to LCA, now we're going to be LDT. Fisher Body seems to ring out more than anything else. Could you explain to us what you all call it in your arena and what you refer to it as?
This building, you mean?
Yes.
Well, for me, what really got me going every time we change our name is I order new stationery. And I said nuts to this, so I just have an electronic form where I just have the GM logo on it, and then I can just change the name as it happens. For me, I can't speak for everybody else, but I still think of this as Fisher Body. For me, it will always be Fisher Body. Outside world, it's Fisher Body. In fact, I love it when I call Canteen when we would order dinners and stuff, because they still have us down as Fisher Body, and I'll say, this is Barbara from Fisher Body, wanting to take care of a charge. And so for me, I can't talk about the world, but for me, it's still Fisher Body. Always will be. The names mean nothing to me. Those other names mean nothing to me.
Marilyn Calder.
Barb, for anybody who is coming down into the front office to work and going to deal with employees, what's the best advice you'd give to them as far as dealing with us?
Listen first. I would get calls, you know, especially when there's something wrong with their car. I would get a call, and I'm the last resort they're calling. They're upset, they're swearing, and so I just let them talk. And then once they're done talking, then they realize how awful they sounded. And I'll say, okay, I know you've done this all. I know that you've got paperwork showing that you've got this. You have this lemon of a car. You've got all that paperwork. Give me a copy. Let's see what we can do on our part. Because I said, our customer is the dealer. It is not the person that buys that car. So the dealer, if they're not servicing that car, that's why service means a lot to me. If they're not servicing that car, all the plant can really do is say, fix them. You know, don't give this person a hard time. Fix the car. There's enough documentation there to do it. So, and I get that all that paperwork from the person, and then I would just say, okay, this is who I'm going to give the paperwork to. It's usually the director of quality control. This is the person's phone number, and I'm going to give all this paperwork to them so there's a connect. They know that where I'm going to send it, they know that it's going to be handled. Doesn't mean I'm going to get the results that they want, but at least our plant will review it. And they will review it with the customer person that's in charge of, that works, the GM person that works right, with, like a Jay Stokes that works for Pontiac. He's GM. He works with the Pontiac dealers. Mm-hmm. So that's what I do. So I listen first. The best thing is to listen first. What does the person need? Then see what you can do to help that person.
Do you find that also goes over with working with the internal customers, being the employees on the line?
Oh, yeah. Everybody. I mean, you got to listen first. Find out what's going on. And another thing that would drive them crazy too, if somebody would come down upset about something, I'd say, write it down. And they go, well, why do I have to write this down? I said, because it organizes your thoughts. And then, because when my boss gets it, My boss is probably not the person that's going to fix it. It's going to be who he or she gives it to. So if you got it all written down, your phone number's on there, and when you, like, let's say it's, you know, something's not, you know, there's a heating problem out there. Just say, if I don't hear back from you within a week, then I'm going to take it elsewhere. You know, because if you put an end date on there of when I'm going to take action, then all of a sudden it's just like there's that due date on there. So that would drive everybody crazy. But I think that's the best way. When you organize your thoughts on paper, you got it in writing, you got your phone number on there, the date you brought it in, and then my boss can easily pass it on to whoever will handle it. So that's how I deal with problems.
Barb, do you have a favorite memory of this building, co-workers, that you'd like to share with us?
I have a lot. I don't even know where to begin. Boy. Well, I got it. Betsy Caesar, when Amy first asked me to take on financial work, Betsy was doing joint funds, and I'm not a financial person. I've only taken one accounting class, and I was just a mess. I could not even figure out what a debit and a credit was. And I remember I would go home crying every night, and I said, Betsy, I just can't do this job. And she said, yes, you will. We'll get through it. And she helped me through everything. And she means everything to me. She is a little pistol, you know, beautiful little redhead, but she is the best. And that's the thing that meant the most to me as far as work. You know, there's a lot of other personal things that have really meant a lot to me, but I'd rather not, you know, share those. But as far as work relationship, that was so nice of Betsy to help me through that.
How about all of the different programs that you've seen come through? Oh, there was the Millionth Grand Dam, the Best Launch Ever. Were you a part of any of those?
Not to the extent that Linda Johnson and John Rosendahl were, but if there was like odds and ends that needed to be done. But their group was just outstanding. And what I loved about Rosendahl is he's very calm because he's done this a million times. And you'd have managers that would be like chihuahua mode, like, well, did he do this? Did he do that? And I said, John, take care of him. Trust the group. And it was always done. So that's what I always remember about that, is that every launch, every big event that was done outstanding because of the group that Linda worked, Linda's group and Rosendahl's group. Yep.
Does anybody have any more questions for Barb?
I just want to tell you that it's been a real pleasure.
Yeah.
And
thank you.
Appreciate having you working for our organization and being a part of yours.
Thank you.
Thank
you.
Barb, you've energized my day. I just love what you're doing.
Thank you.
You're welcome.